Welcome to Research Perch from the Massage Therapy Foundation. Short, practical insights into massage therapy research and how it can benefit your practice.
Hello, everyone. My name is Doug Nelson, and I want to welcome you to another podcast episode from the Massage Therapy Foundation. It is my pleasure to welcome to the conversation today, Deborah Zirkle from Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus, Ohio. Welcome, Deborah. Thank you for taking the time to speak today.
Well, thank you, Doug.
This conversation today and talking about sort of a journal club really sprang from a Research Perch episode that we did a little while ago with Nationwide. And in that episode of Research Perch, just as a little aspect of all of the other things that are happening there, Deborah happened to mention this idea of a journal club that they were doing. And since this is something that the foundation has really wanted to explore and to put across the nation, we thought we would love to examine this today and spend a little time with it. So thank you so much. If you would, tell us a little bit about how this began in your work towards research and evidence-based practice at Nationwide.
Well, I've been working at Nationwide Children's for 7 years. And when I started, we would do these journal clubs. So really, it was just a meeting of the massage therapists. And we would go over a couple times a year a research article that is pertinent to what we do here inpatient at the hospital. It has really evolved since then. As I said, that was 7 years ago, and it was maybe a couple times a year. Now we do 3 to 4 a year, and we have also more massage therapists. So we have a lot of therapists involved. And if we are here 3 days or more, there is an expectation that we will be involved in looking up research, doing these meetings where we explain what we find with our co-workers, but also what we've noticed is it has really pushed us a little bit forward, which has been so exciting.
How interesting. So it started, I would imagine it started as something that people thought they sort of should do and that this was a nice thing to do. And it sounded like that happened just a couple times a year. Something kept moving it forward. And that's really, I'm curious about what it is that you notice that benefits from this.
If we are able to take the research that is there, I will use, for instance, our last EBP, evidence-based practice journal club. We talked about torticollis in the infant population. Once we gather research and information, then we can apply it to creating better outcomes for our patients. And that drives us forward. That also management has seen that, and there is an expectation of other therapies that research helps drive their practice forward. And now for us, the massage therapy team, it is an expectation every year on our review. It's part of our review every year. We are able to talk about it, what we're excited about, what we're seeing on our floors, and then we can push that into doing case studies. We can push that into doing maybe a poster to present either at AMTA or at the Massage Therapy Foundation Research Conference.
You bet. So interesting. So the genesis of this, obviously the benefits became very palpable and something that everybody noticed. And it's interesting that something that starts out as informal becomes more formalized and more sort of systematized because obviously the benefits are there for everybody, which is really, really cool. And it must be a fun thing. I think for all of us, you know, you read something, but it must be fun then to actually explore that in the presence of other people and get different people's viewpoints. Although you're reading the same article, people Yes. read different things into that.
Right. And all of us that are expected, you were expected to be at those meetings and have good conversation. All the massage therapists read the articles. And it's really, as you said, it's really interesting seeing how people on a different unit or floor might take that information and be able to use it with their patients. For instance, as I brought up the torticollis, we pulled a lot of information and articles from physical therapy, and were able to use that information in the NICU on my floor, which is the gastrointestinal floor. Also on the CTICU floor. It really was universal for us, which was really helpful.
Wow. So, you know, I didn't even think about even different disciplines looking at it differently, and yeah, each one of us learning from those disciplines. And so much, I think, is gained by the translational aspect, to see what other people see and to hear it from their perspective, and then think about, well, how does that affect what I'm doing?
Yes. And that's one of our challenges, really, when the massage therapist has, say, a question about a modality or a patient population on their floor, and we work together on putting this information, you know, condensing it to be able to talk about it in the meeting. When we're searching, we really only have so much information in the massage therapy research, and we're growing and growing, and we're getting more research posted for massage therapy. But if you are looking up something, don't be discouraged if you can't find anything under massage therapy. We look under physical therapy. We look under occupational therapy. So there are other disciplines that we're able to pull information from.
Absolutely. And it's also my experience that those things then translate back.
Yes.
That, you know, the fundamentals are still fundamentals, and they have approached them in one way. But when we know what they're looking for, then we just apply them through the lens of our own discipline, and good things happen that way.
Yeah.
But I'm also hearing from you, we need more massage therapy research, and God bless you for saying that, because that's what the foundation's really all about. And
yes, we need you. And one of the things that I try to start my meetings out when I'm working as the research leader with the massage therapists that are wanting to do the EBP Journal Club meeting is, remain curious. If you're curious, then something's going to come up. It might be, would this modality work with this patient population? I'm not sure. Let's look it up.
Yeah.
We'll try to find something. Or maybe, you know, I'm not getting the results that I thought I would doing this modality, or how can I just best help, you know, these patients that have short bowel syndrome and they're having a lot of abdominal surgeries and they have a lot of scar tissue. How do we best help them?
Wow.
And that's so exciting, just remaining curious.
You know, in all the podcasts that I've done and all the interviews, and I keep saying that really what science is all about is just formalized curiosity.
Yes.
Really? It's just, I wonder why, and isn't it funny that, and you know, all those little entrees, those little questions are the things that open the doors into just deep and rich conversations. And certainly my experience is that it's richer and deeper when you have other disciplines involved or when you see it from somebody else's perspective. So that's really, really cool. One question, Deborah, in terms of picking the topics, how does that happen?
It's having that curiosity, and the massage therapists that are picked to do, say, that quarterly meeting, everyone takes turns and they normally buddy up. They will talk together on something that they might have seen or something that they're curious about, and then we'll meet and create a topic. And sometimes that topic gets diverted completely, either as we find certain research, or we'll go, you know what? Wait a minute. We just had this a meeting this morning, and it was about spasticity. And we started the topic on one thing, and next thing you know, we're totally on another area of spasticity. And cerebral palsy. And it was great. It was great. We shifted gears, and we'll just go from there.
You know, I'm laughing just because it's so typical for anything in the kind of research realm. It is about as far from linear as you could possibly get.
Right.
You know, on the way to Boston, you end up in Oklahoma City, and it's really interesting, you know, but such is the nature of this, and why sometimes it takes a little bit of time, and you don't just have an idea, go in, get what you want, and then leave, and it just doesn't work like that, you know?
No.
But that's the richness of it all. Part of that also comes, again, from clinical experience, that in being with a patient, you notice certain things, and that sparks something that at least initiates that conversation.
Yes. And that's some of the beauty of the work. knowing some of the science behind what we're doing, but also having our clinical reasoning and our clinical expertise on what we're seeing to make wise choices in working with our patients.
Absolutely. You know, and there's the thing, you know, the science is rich, but at some point in the clinic, in that, you know, patient encounter, you still have to make decisions. And that's where the art of it all comes in. But, you know, you can't make decisions unless you have some ideas about the things you're making decisions about. Right. You have to know what you're saying yes to, and you have to know what you're saying no to. And that's part of what the research is really helping you to understand, all those elements of that.
Yes.
In this process, if you were going to give some advice, you're in a very, an amazing environment with Nationwide's program here, but if you were giving some advice to therapists out there to start a journal club, what are a couple of things that you might tell them, Deborah?
The two things that come to mind immediately is just our realistic things. So where to search? I use PubMed.gov and Google Scholar a lot. Mm-hmm. If you are not part of a hospital or a university, you can still get on PubMed.gov and you can just look at free articles and you can find a lot just there, which is amazing. And then also, if you are wanting to work, we have the beauty of working with a group of people where we can bounce ideas, we can work together doing the journal clubs. One of the things that we really use a lot, or use all the time with our journal clubs, is having a little table on a piece of paper or on your computer where you essentially do the quote unquote cliff notes.
Yeah.
And that's pulling all the essential information from your research article down into little bite-sized pieces. Some of the things that we look at is author and then the year, the objective, what are they looking at? Subjects, what, you know, how many patients were they looking at? How many patients did they use as maybe a control group? Their methods, because we need to know what they were doing as far as massage therapy. And then what were the results and the strengths and the limitations? And how, you know, how are we looking at this research? And if you're new, there's so much information for you to be able to learn these pieces and parts of dissecting the research article. Massage Therapy Foundation, they have a research literacy course that is an amazing resource for you.
Yeah. And one of the things I would say too about the, when we say IJTMB, it's the International Journal for Therapeutic Massage and Bodywork. In that journal, all of it is relevant to massage because it is a journal from the foundation and about massage therapy. And the great thing about that is that those are all full text articles, meaning you have full access to everything. And that those studies were actually, there were massage therapists who played a role in this, potentially with the design and also with the execution. Because if you were looking at massage therapy, we also want to make sure that it's relevant to daily practice. So IJTMB is a great resource for anybody doing a journal club. I would wonder, Deborah, what you would think about this, but even just one of the case reports to read what one person did with a study, with a, you know, a client, would be a really interesting thing to look at this. As you said, look at, you know, strengths and weaknesses, what they did, what they didn't do, what the outcomes were, and then how you might take that information and apply it to a client that you're seeing.
Yes. And also, there are different massage therapists that, if you are a solo practitioner in your own office, you maybe reach out to some of the other therapists within your community to have a little study group a few times a year and look at things that both of you are seeing, you know, neck pain, shoulder pain, low back pain, plantar fasciitis. There are so many things that you can look at and really, you know, get some little bit of information. I've been practicing for 13 years. I'm still learning so much, and it really helps keep you passionate and keeps you, you know, relevant on what is happening now.
And, you know, I think the other thing listening to you, Deborah, is, as, and I'm sure you've had that experience at the hospital as well, it also builds community.
Yes.
Because you're sharing with other therapists. I think outside of situations like yours. I think there are many islands out there where therapists feel like they're alone. And this would be a great way to share insights and learn together.
Yes, I agree. When I had my own solo practice, I was never shy about reaching out to other massage therapists to know what their, maybe their specialty was. Mm-hmm. Because then I can refer people out and they would refer people to me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah. That was really nice. And you can dig a little bit deeper, you know, and get to know them and do the journal clubs together. Yeah. Or if you're working with a group, that can be something that you can do, you know, as a spa or in your own practice that has more than one massage therapist.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's kind of like one of the great ways, those of us who belong to different service organizations, Rotary, whatever, one way to really get to know people is to work shoulder to shoulder with them, you know, on a project instead of a social environment, actually do something together. So I think journal clubs are a great way to have that connection as well.
And to be able to, when you're searching, there are so many things when I'm looking for research that I didn't realize there was research on. Yeah. And I can pull massage therapy research that I had no idea was out there and be totally fascinated on the subject. That might not even have anything to do with what I was originally looking for.
Yeah.
There's just so many things to read.
And, you know, I think exploring those things, it's always good to explore that and not wait till the moment that you need it, because you never know when you're going to need it and when it might be relevant. And that's an important aspect as well.
Very true.
So just keep adding more bricks to the wall of knowledge, because you never know when the winds will blow and you might need that.
Right.
So, yeah. So, well, I, again, just am so impressed with all the work that you're doing at Nationwide. The whole staff is so impressive. I love doing the research perch, and I really love this idea, and hope today it might inspire other people to think about doing a journal club with other therapists, whether you're in an environment, as you mentioned, in a spa, in a clinic with multiple therapists, or you're in a community with other therapists. Get together, explore these things, and we at the Foundation would love to certainly provide any wisdom and counsel that we can in helping you do that. So, Deborah, thank you so much for taking the time to speak today and just have a conversation about this. And again, we're so proud of the work that you're doing at Nationwide.
Well, thank you so much, Doug. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And we'll catch you at the next episode.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider donating to the Massage Therapy Foundation so that we can continue to bring you this and many other resources to increase your knowledge and improve your practice. Thank you.